Gareth, I've heard you speaking about aspects of the war on terror and Guantanamo before, and you have aptly described Guantanamo as an experiment. I've interviewed a number of United States intelligence officials, one of them on the record, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Christino, who worked at the heart of the Pentagon's war on terror until he retired in June. And they've all said the same thing, which is that very few, if any, of the people at Guantanamo have ever had anything to do with terrorism, and the intelligence which has been produced by interrogating the people at Guantanamo is completely worthless and has not helped to prevent a single terrorist attack. At the same time, we know that in American custody are some real terrorists, who, by the way, have never been to Guantanamo. People such as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is widely believed to have been the main planner for the September the 11th attacks, and Ramzi bin al-Shib, who was the co-founder with Mohammed Asri at the so-called Hamburg cell, and was clearly quite involved until a very late stage with the attacks. And they, of course, have never gone anywhere near a court. They've been held in some secret prison and no doubt tortured. And it seems most unlikely that people who could be convicted of those murders will ever go near a court. I wonder if that in mind, with that in mind, you could comment on the paradoxes and features of this experiment and where you think it, what its purpose is and where is it leading?
The purpose is unashamedly a political purpose. And it suits whichever government has become party to the practices. It suits any government to make use of its best trump card. And the best trump card for any government is to invite the public to be afraid, to believe that there's an enemy, to erect the spectre of a threat to national security, and to say, as an absolute necessity within that, if it's national security, we can't tell you. It has to be secret. So in one circular movement, you have everything that an unscrupulous government could wish for. And it's that, it's even the phrase war on terror that is intended to make us not question, that's intended for us to say, we'll take it from you because you have special knowledge. And in fact, it is right when Mr. Blair said that those who come back from Guantanamo were causing trouble. I disagree with the other speaker. They have taken the trouble to put into writing and to put out as carefully as they could every aspect of the detention they went through so that information could be known to the public, which was not and could not have been previously known. It was intended to be secret. Intended always to be secret, what happens, for instance, in Guantanamo Bay, what is the intelligence we can derive from there. And the trouble they've caused, not enough, sadly, but the trouble they've caused is to blow the whistle on the value of the intelligence and to say, we were tortured, we were subjected to forms of treatment that we could no longer endure after a certain point. And we gave way. And we said, yes, we are the three in that video with bin Laden and Mohammed Atta. It's us. That would be sufficient, more than enough, for our government to say, we have a huge threat in this country from young Muslims who went and visited bin Laden, who were enrolled in an Al-Qaeda academy. That would have been more than sufficient for our purposes. But it emerged that they had, in fact, at the relevant time, on the relevant video, been working in Currys in Tipton or been in trouble with the police in Tipton. Now, that sort of intelligence, unchecked, is exactly what is being used in secret to create the threat, which is providing for the abolition of every single safeguard that is meant to be attached to every individual in the world, an inalienable human right. We know from the brave former ambassador, British ambassador to Uzbekistan, that detainees in Uzbekistan are subjected to the most hideous brutality, including being boiled alive. And he sent repeated communiques back to the Foreign Office here, saying, this country in which I am serving as the ambassador is an outrageous ally to the British government. It is abusing human rights in the most grotesque way. I want to know in writing what the law is in Britain about our having relationships with regimes like this and cooperating. He said, I want you to know that the intelligence we are sending back from here is based on torture. I want you to know that the intelligence is not just worthless, it is utterly misleading and false. Instead of a response saying, please continue speaking up, please continue protesting, it's vital that you've told us that the intelligence is worthless. Instead of that, he was sent messages to be quiet, not to complain, and to up the Islamic threat to make sure that the intelligence always veered towards suggesting there was a threat from Islamic activists. It's this that we're talking about that is being hidden. And it was because I was involved with Mr. Begg and his son Mosem that some considerable time ago now, I was reading every word that had begun to come out about Guantanamo and realizing the practices there were outrageously cruel. For a while, the world wasn't meant to know. For a long time, it was meant to be an offshore island in which everything that happened there was secret. But little by little, it came out that it was torture. And so, the other side of the coin was during the hearings of people detained here, foreign nationals, on the grounds that they are a threat to national security, subjected here to indefinite detention. And we're told the evidence on which they're detained is important and secret and based on intelligence, so it can't be heard and made public, and they can't be put on trial. We asked the very basic question of the witness behind a curtain in the Kafkaesque, mostly secret hearing to which we were not party, and were surprised at the answer. Would the intelligence services in the UK use evidence based on torture? And the answer came back, yes. The only question is what weight we would give it. And that case and other cases of people detained here on the basis of intelligence evidence went to the Court of Appeal, and two out of the three judges said it is okay. There is no problem, provided that it is not British intelligence agents doing the torturing. No question that torture is wrong, legally, morally wrong, in breach of our every international obligation. And no question of the lesser point, but equally central to the argument. Evidence obtained from torture is evidence which the torturer puts in and, of course, gets out of it exactly the product he wishes. No question of that. I read on the front of The Guardian this morning a headline saying, judges to go out on strike, all our judges to go out on strike. And there was a moment of hope. And then I read that it was to do with pensions. But we are in a state of emergency when judges should be questioning their very role in all of this. Judges and lawyers who are participating in these procedures should be questioning, have we got to a point in this country where we're being asked to do the unconscionable? Are we the equivalent of lawyers and judges in Nazi Germany who were party to show trials in which the outcome was already known and written? Certainly to people detained here, the outcome was known and written. The Home Secretary had constructed a procedure in which no one was meant to escape. It was meant to be court proof, human rights proof. It was meant to allow for a number of individuals to be bricked in, to be buried alive, possibly permanently. And insofar as we are subject to any greater law other than our own moral internal law, there has begun to be, as the process of information becomes clearer, begun to be not just international criticism, but international criticism of the most authoritative kind. Yesterday, the United Nations Committee on Torture, it is their remit. It is what they're expert on. It is what the world community has asked them to monitor. Made findings against this country which are extraordinary, in the sense that they say that all that we are doing is unlawful. All that we are doing is in breach of our international obligations. They say to detain people indefinitely here without trial is wrong. That the basis on which we asked the Council of Europe, saying there was an emergency here, that we lodge a notice of derogation, the emergency was so great that we had to abandon the right to a fair, prompt, open trial for anyone detained. They have said, the UN committee said yesterday, this was false. The evidence placed before the Council of Europe was inadequate, was misleading. And they go on to say that they have a huge concern. This is the diplomatic language of the United Nations Committee. Subjects of concern. Subject of concern number one was the shameless use, willingness to use, expressed acknowledgement of use of evidence obtained from torture by the United Kingdom. And they remind the United Kingdom, be short. It's hard to be short on a subject like this, but I will. If you wish to see the document, you can easily get it. But if ever we needed to wake up to the fact we are now in a crisis, this is an emergency. The experiment that David Rose referred to that we are in is an experiment that has led to results so shocking that now the international community, which does not know a great deal, but knows the little that's come out, is shocked to the core. If we ever needed a wake-up call, this document, as of yesterday, tells us we are not just on the wrong road, that we are behaving as torturers, we are behaving utterly unlawfully, and that we have been complicit in the destruction, not just of the rights of people in Guantanamo, not just backing the US. We are doing it here, and we're happy to do it here, for the purposes of the government, which likes to have an enemy, which likes to have a war on terror, which indeed distracts from legitimate concerns about domestic policy here. It's a false war, it's a wrong war, it's an evil war. The war is on our rights.